Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In a little while, a live performance of new music for Christmas from our resident choir, the WNYC Young People's Chorus, The Cool Side of Yuletide. But as you know, all this week we've been doing our review of the best of 06, and now we thought we might take a look at the uglier side of the year in music. We've invited Nathan Rabin, the music editor of the newspaper The Onion, to join us with some of The Onion's picks, what they call the least essential albums of the year. Nathan, what makes something least essential?
To answer your question, I think it's that it just has no reason whatsoever to exist. like, these aren't necessarily the worst albums of the year, although they are the worst albums of the year. But, you know, I think just the fact that they, again, don't really have any reason to exist, yet exist all the same.
Okay.
Kind of the criterion for being included.
So there are other bad albums out there, but they're misfires, and in this case you wonder why somebody loaded the gun to begin with.
Oh, totally. Yeah, okay. Yeah, very much so. There's just something kind of fundamentally askew about all of these projects.
Well, now, your number one least essential album of 2006 was...
is a closely guarded mystery. And I'm totally not able to tell you anything about it, especially whether or not it was by somebody who sired children by Britney Spears.
Okay.
You are so not going to get that out of me, no matter how much you prod.
All right. Well,
I will not tell you whether, you know, somebody has a hyphen in their name or subject to a lot of late night jokes.
It's bad enough that we had to deal with, you know, Kevin Federline as the ex Mr. Britney Spears. Now we have to deal with him as a rapper.
Well, that's
named
K-Fed. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing that's kind of interesting about doing least essential every year is you see all of these projects and you think, well, God, that looks ridiculous. But there's kind of no way in which it could actually be as bad as it looks. And I actually listened to K-Fed's album this morning. K-Fed's totally playing with fire. very incendiary and provocative message. And it really is just as jaw-droppingly awful as you would imagine. Sort of K-Fed's basic message can be kind of summed up as, I'm married to Britney Spears and you're not, and I'm spending all of Britney Spears' money and you're not. Not the most compelling message in the world. You're not exactly blowing in the wind or anything. And,
right.
And like, even that.
Very small, you know, target audience, I would think, for that.
Very much so. And it's also just, like, the historical irony. It's just kind of, it's impossible to ignore.
Well, let's not ignore it. Let's hear some of it. K-Fed's album, Playing With Fire.
Lifestyle of rich living in fast cars. Don't hate because I'm a superstar. And I married a superstar. Never come between us, no matter who you are. Come on, that's right. Just get it. Let you feel it. Make you lose control. This is that hip hop flavor mixed with a little bit of rock and roll. Ballet your wig, grab your chair. You know how.
Okay, K-Fed. And
the production is not bad, but no. Oh my God, like, yeah.
The lyrics.
Oh, totally. Well, I think his handler should say, you know, find another hobby. You know, maybe you can design handbags. That's what all the useless celebrities are doing. Although I guess he already had his own reality show, and that didn't turn out so well, so.
We're speaking with Nathan Rabin. He's music editor of the newspaper The Onion, joining us from Chicago with the least essential albums of the year. Your least essential Christmas album from a hoarse-voiced gangsta mediocrity is Dipset Christmas by Jim
Yes.
Jones. Nathan, are you suggesting that gangsta rap just doesn't have the Christmas spirit?
Well, the funny thing about that, actually, is that back in the day, a cuddly, Yuletide-friendly label called Death Row put out a Christmas album. And, you know, despite boasting tidings of good cheer from people like Snoop Dogg and the Dog Pound, somehow failed to become a Christmas perennial. And Dipset Christmas is even worse. And the thing that's kind of interesting about it, it's 10 songs, five of which are basically gangster rap songs that have clumsy references to Christmas littered throughout, and then the next five songs have nothing whatsoever to do with the birth of the infant Messiah. so it is Dipset, and it is kind of Christmassy, but other than that, not a whole lot to recommend it. There's also a pretty astonishing amount of profanity and drug references for a Christmas album ostensibly for children.
If Every Day Was Christmas is the name of this modern carol. From Jim Jones.
Tommy rhymes so consistent. Rubber band man, so resistant. Right. When he told all the soldiers, listen. Shiver a German, cause it eternity. Look at this nigga, so nigga determined. Oh, he's supposed to made it, you're supposed to hate him. That's what motivate him. Shit. Top of the billboard, poster place him. One of the best, you're supposed to rate him. Yes, and bougie bras, if you're in bougie bars. And drop cars, you're supposed to date him. Shit. Don't mistake him for rocks, where it came from. Where the guap and it came from. What? Where the dropping them things from. Where the red fern there, where I got my name from. Bird gang, where I got my wings from.
Jim Jones, If Every Day Was Christmas. Lots of words spliced in backwards there.
Yeah, well, that's the hallmark of every Christmas classic, is they have lots of words bleeped out.
Okay, we are we're wasting some time with Nathan Rabin, music editor of The Onion, who's got The Onion's picks for what they call the least essential albums of the year.
Indeed.
And the staff's full list of picks is on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Nathan, earlier this week, Ann Powers of the LA Times told us that, you know, in her list of the best music of the year, that it was a really good year for kids' music. You guys also gave a nod to kids' music with your least essential ego stroke perpetuated for the children.
Well, that's one of the things that's kind of fun about doing least essential every year is there are just sort of themes that sort of pop up all over the place. And one of them is sort of albums made by celebrities that really have no reason to exist beyond the fact that celebrities were involved. so this one certainly fits that bill. It features such noted songsmiths as that woman from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And let's see, John Stamos. You can't have a children's album without John Stamos. Xena the Princess Warrior. She totally has a song on there. And they're butchering the classics. I think that's kind of the theme of Unexpected Dreams, Songs from the Stars.
Well, here is Xena herself, Lucy Lawless, singing Little Child from the album Unexpected Dreams.
Celebrating your very first day on earth. Perfect hands, perfect feet, and those soft rosy cheeks. All my life I have dreamed of you, my sweet little child.
Nathan, I'm losing the will to live. Help me,
painful.
Nathan.
Oh, my ears are bleeding.
All right, we're talking about some of the least essential albums of the year. Now, again, not to say these are the worst musical albums, although I would be really afraid to hear what you've got that's worse than these records.
Yeah, they're kind of they double as many of the worst albums of the year.
All right, now 2006 was the 10th anniversary of the death of Tupac Shakur.
Yeah, yes, that it was.
You picked a least essential Tupac exploitation album. called Pax Life. Now, look, there have been many posthumous Tupac releases.
There have.
What is the particular problem with this one?
Well, the thing, and I actually say this in the piece itself, is that it's actually one of the less inessential Tupac albums. There are two that very much stand, or three actually, that very much stand out in my mind as being more glaringly inessential. One of which is there were two separate albums inspired by Tupac's poetry. It's one thing to, you know, take the guy's freestyles and, like, make some new beats over them. It's another thing to, like, some really bad, you know, things that he scrawled about his feelings when he was in seventh grade and you know, make a song or a poem about it. And then the other was a remix collection called New Mix Classics. That is, of course, mix spelled with two X's.
With X's,
and
yes.
The classics with two Z's. And that was just basically a bunch of no-name Death Row producers remixing his songs. And this is, I mean, it's not terrible, you know, but
it's pretty, not essential, is what you're saying.
It's grinding. It's also, it's like his 17th posthumous album.
Right.
You know, I think they're running out of stuff to recycle. I think his next album is going to be a bunch of voicemail messages from Tupac, like, yo, this is Tupac, I'm not home, leave me a message. Then it'll be like 17 different remixes of that. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel dry. And they're like, there are three remixes and only 13 tracks total.
Mm.
So six of the 13 songs have two different versions. So that's kind of a pretty good... Also, nothing that's kind of strange about it is that I've got Tupac collaborating with a lot of people who didn't become successful until 8 or 9 years after Tupac died.
Right.
So it's like they're, you know, collaborating with a historical figure, you know, like Abraham Lincoln or Jesus, as opposed to like a contemporary rapper.
All right, well, let's hear a little bit of the title track from this effort called Pax Life. 21st, thought I'd be locked down, cracked out or in the dirt. And though it hurts to see the change, it comes with the fame. Watch for gossip and the silly game. So all the motherfuckers speaking down on me, this is the night. Why is everybody caught up in Pac's life? To all y'all conversating on my life, mind your motherfucking business. Pac's life. Everybody needs to chill. Everybody talk about That is the title track from the posthumous Tupac release from this year called Pac's Life. And once again, we're talking with Nathan Rabin of The Onion and talking about some of the staff picks of the least essential albums of the year. And the full list on the Soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org. The article that unveils the complete list begins with this sentence. Every year produces great music and a nearly equal amount of terrible music. Nathan, that seems awfully charitable.
Yeah.
And it's not very becoming, I'm afraid.
I would say that, yeah, that sort of the terrible music far outdistances the amount of good music that gets made.
It seems that way, and especially
more at the
for some reason right now.
Yeah.
There was an old favorite that allegedly reunited in 2006, and that is the band The Cars. You refer to this as your least essential reunion. Why?
Right. Well, the only thing sadder than kind of a cash-in quickie reunion from kind of past their prime players is a fake quickie cash-in reunion. So the new Cars, kind of the new is kind of a giveaway there. They don't feature this guy who is kind of dragging the Cars down, Rick Ocasek.
Yeah, right, the singer, the songwriter, right.
Yeah. Just because he wrote the songs and sang them and, you know, was a leader of the band. So the really sad thing is, you know, they replaced him with Todd Rundgren.
Yeah.
And Todd Rundgren, you know, pretty auspicious musician in his own
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of hard to imagine what could have possibly gotten him to, you know, pull out his best Rick Ocasek impersonation. And actually, if you watch the Colbert Report, Rick Ocasek was on there. And
yes,
he put
he's been
Todd
on, he's played
on
a
notice for fronting the new car. So it's... He's on our least essential, and he's also on notice. So, probably ashamed to show his face in public these days.
Yeah, well, maybe not.
Yes.
But let's hear a little bit from the new Cars and their and the 2006 record called "It's Alive." I knew you had a reputation. They said Okay, so the new Cars. Nathan, would it be fair to say that maybe this record wouldn't have bothered you if it had been attributed to, you know, the new guys, you know?
Some dudes playing car songs?
Right.
I think that's part of it, you know? But again, you know, even under the best of circumstances, I can't really see how an album like this would have any reason to exist.
Mm-hmm. The album is called It's Alive. What about, I mean, we've been talking, I know your beat is mostly, you know, hip-hop, pop kind of stuff,
but
the full Onion list of the least essential albums of the year covers a lot of genres. What about the year in crossover music? Do you have a least essential album by Juilliard-trained street violinists called Nuttin' But Strings?
Yeah, and as I sort of say in the piece, and I'm very fond of quoting myself, because I love my writing. But, you know, some people kind of, you know, were born into being inessential, and others kind of have an essentiality thrust onto them. And some people just come about inessentiality by having a really, really stupid name, and an even stupider gimmick. And as you might imagine, the Nuttin' But Strings falls into that third category. And the thing that's really sad is you'd imagine if you're going to call yourself Nothing But Strings, then you'll consist of nothing but strings.
Right.
But there's a lot more than just strings on this album. There's, like, really, really bad R&B. There's really bad hip-hop. There are, like, skits. It's pretty, pretty painful.
The album bears the somewhat poetic title of Struggle from the Subway to the Charts.
Yeah, very inspirational.
How far up the charts did they get with this, I wonder? I wonder if they got out of the subway with this.
I don't know.
So
don't give up your day jobs.
So, making the list of the Onion's least essential albums of the year is the band Nuttin' But Strings. We've been speaking with Nathan Rabin, the music editor of the Onion. Nathan, I guess I'll say thanks because it's the polite thing to say. Really, a pleasure to have you with us on the show. Happy holidays, and we'll look for more next year.
Glad to be here. It was a pleasure.
In a moment, the WNYC Resident Choir, our own Young People's Chorus, will perform new music for the Christmas season live in the studio, and we would like to hear from you. You can email us. Our email address is soundcheck@wnyc.org.
It may be hard, but we'll still find a way to get through it. It's time to come together, y'all.
Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.